This afternoon, I would like for us to do a little inventory. If you could look over this past week in your life, and if you could do a little inventory of your thoughts and patterns of thoughts, the direction that your thoughts have gone, and if you could, if you had to put them in two categories, they're either positive or they're negative. Which one would outweigh the other one? You know, sometimes it's good for us to just kind of sit back a little bit and think, okay, where are my thoughts going? And what I want to talk about this afternoon is the value of hope. And in your thoughts that you've had this past week and the events happening in your life, which ones have hope in them, and which ones seem like there's no way out of this problem? And I'd like for us to think about something. I think the Lord would like for us to realize that we were heard this morning about being able to hear the voice of the Lord. I think we can start to be able to detect the voice of the Lord in this. If something comes to me that offers no hope, I think we could put it in a category that it's not coming from the Lord. You know, because even if he has to chastise me for something that I need to change about my life, I find that the Lord always offers hope. You find hope offered. Throughout the Bible, we find hope is offered when something is even needed to be corrected. So I'd like for us to look this afternoon for a little while at the value of hope. And the anchor that hope wants to be in my life. There's a song that we sing, in times like these, we need an anchor. It says, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. An anchor is something to just keep me from drifting whichever way the wind's blowing. You heard about the verse that says, be carrying about with the winds, every wind of doctrine. Well, you know, we can be carried about with every wind of emotion that comes to us. We just float off with it as far as it takes us. But instead, I think what happens is we want to be able to have an anchor. Hope is an anchor. It says, be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. It says, in times like these, you need the Bible. The Bible is our anchor. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And I looked about anchor over in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and starting in the 18th verse, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. To be able to get a hold of the hope that is set before us. And here it says, 19th verse, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul. God's promises is one of those things that provides us an anchor. And I've told you this. Cheryl had a big sign on her wall with a promise on it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you know what? It worked for her. It was an anchor for her soul. And you know what? When after she passed and I'm kind of cleaning things up, I said, I'm leaving that sign right on my wall because I need the same anchor. Each one of us do. Each one of us can take that verse. His promise wasn't just to her, but to each of us, I won't leave you nor forsake you. The value of hope that that gives to us in the day and time that we're living in. There is a verse over in Psalms, because we're going to have things come to us. You know, if we were to just say, okay, I'm going to put my thoughts in categories of the past week, we could have some pretty terrible things happen in our life that bring some pretty negative thoughts. Here's something that happens. 61 of Psalms, first verse, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever been at that place where it's just this problem is bigger than I can face. My heart is overwhelmed. But here's what it says. Here's what I want to do. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Something that I can come to and be able to find something sturdy, something that I can anchor my life to. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I would like for us to look at a song, song number 51. What is our hope built on? You know what, there's a lot of people that have hope. But you know what, if we don't have it built on something solid, it still won't carry me through. I'd like for us to sing this together, number 51. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. That third verse says, when all around my soul gives way. You know, we can have those times happen to us. We don't know, we don't see which way to go from here. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. I was thinking of a couple songs in our book that shows a huge contrast in hope. Here is one. Where is thy hope, poor sinner? What are you going to do? Hope is a God-given anchor. It's lavished so freely on you. If it is fixed in the Savior, on that bright shore you will land. But if in sin you still linger, sad your end. Where is the hope for the sinner? It says, hope is a God-given anchor. It's lavished so freely. It's available for every one of us. Saint or sinner, hope is available. If it is fixed in the Savior, on that bright shore you will land. So look at the contrast of that song and the song for the Christian. Blessed hope we have within us. It's an anchor to the soul. It is both steadfast and sure. It is founded on the promises of Father's written word. and it will evermore endure. We have a hope within our soul, and I am very thankful for it. Sometimes there are things in life that I take for granted. You know what? When hope is offered to me in times where it seems like there's no hope available, I need to be very thankful, especially when it comes from the Lord, because He is the solid rock for me to anchor to. I'd like to go to another verse over in Psalm 78. And I want to go ahead and read a few verses, starting at the first verse. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. So something, instructions that being passed down from one generation to another, we will not hide them from the children. Show unto the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and He appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So look at this. Here's something that wants to be passed down. If you're going to pass something down to your children, pass down the law of the Lord. Pass it from generation to generation. And then it tells, here's the whole reason for doing this, moving it from one family to the next, one generation to the next, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So I think of that picture. As I was reading this, I started thinking about David. You know, David is just, we just read the little clips of stories. He's a shepherd boy. He's out there when a lion and a bear comes, he slays them. Then Goliath comes, and he's not afraid of that either. And I just wonder, what was worship time like at his home with his father? Maybe he had things like this for instruction. They did have it. Back in Deuteronomy, it was telling you, be careful when you rise, when you sit, when you're all the time. You be giving instruction to your children. Well, I wonder about David, as his father maybe is telling him all those old Bible stories, and David gets a hope to it. And he sets his hope in God to the point that when he sees Goliath and all of his brothers and all of the army is afraid, David has learned to set his hope in God. It's not about what David can do by himself, but his hope is in God being able to help him. Well, here's 2024. We can have some big things happen in our life that I don't know what I'm going to do about them. But I want to do it just like this one. I want to look back at all the times that I have been instructed, Bible stories that would help me to realize, you know what, I can set my hope in God also. He can help me through it. There's another verse over in Psalms 42. And maybe David could have said this to the army when they're all running after Goliath has called out to him. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? You ever felt that yourself? What's this inside feeling like there's no hope? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God. Yet I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Why are you cast down? Hope in God. There's another one over in Psalms. Psalms has a lot of them that offers hope. Yeah. Psalms 147 and 10. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Here's what the Lord takes pleasure in. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. I am thankful for the mercy of the Lord. You know what? I'm thankful that we have a track record with Him to where we can hope in His mercy being extended to us as we need it. There's another verse in Psalms 33 and 17. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. So the temporal things that we have, you know, we can build up a little bank account to where I feel secure. I can make it now. You know how fast that can go away from us? I need to have my hope in God. Yes. To where should all of my temporal things be gone, my hope is still in the Lord. And I want that to be able to happen in my life. In Lamentations, in the 3rd chapter, it tells us it is good that a man would both hope, and after he hopes, that's not enough just by itself, but he would hope and quietly wait to see the salvation of the Lord. You know, sometimes my hope in the Lord also puts some restrictions or guidelines of when I want him to bail me out. But just to know the Lord is able to take care of this problem that I face, it's good that a man would both hope and then quietly wait.
Yes.
There's a verse over in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17 and 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is.
Yes.
He's going to be like a tree. You know, we had the request just a while ago. We need rain. We need something to water this earth. He's going to be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not see when heat cometh. Her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope yes. and stay. When things are drying up around me, we're in an election year. And I found that the best thing for me to do is keep the radio turned off.
Yes.
My vote will be one vote at the end of it all. But we can get caught up in politics.
Yes.
And I have done it before. I have been consumed with it before. To where I would listen to the news as I'm going home from work, and I would hear somebody's opinion about the news, and the next morning I would hear somebody else's opinion about the news, and then I formed my opinion about it. Well, you know what? Whether all those opinions were true or not, there was something that it caused it to do. It caused me to lose my peace. Mm-hmm. I started being consumed about what's happening. I can still remember on an election night, you always want to know before you go to bed who's going to be the president. And so I laid awake on the floor listening to the radio till about 4 a.m. and finally decided we're not going to know who the president is this year, this night. And in fact, it was several weeks before we knew for sure. And so I thought about that. I said, wait a minute. My laying awake in the floor didn't do anything to give me a headache. For the next morning, I had to get up and go to work, and they didn't say, if you worried about it last night, take the day off. You can just take your sick day. No, I had to be there. We can get consumed with things that's happening around us or just in our own little environment. When all these verses come to me, why are you cast down, O my soul? Where's your hope? Hope thou in the Lord.
Yes.
Maybe you won't need it this week, but you know what? You keep on living. And you'll have things come in your life where I have to check, where has my hope been? And I want to be able to have it in the Lord. That song came to me, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It says, I've got strength, I find strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. You know how much better your day is when you can have a bright hope for tomorrow? Even if things are negative, even if things are bad for me today, that I can have bright hope that God is in control of my tomorrows. And it says, blessings all mine and 10,000 beside, great is thy faithfulness. There's another verse over in Psalms 146. And 5. Happy. You know, I love any verse that talks about happy. Because it means if I can do that, what does it say? If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Those were talking about the ordinances that we do. But this one says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. There's happiness that comes from that. You know, I don't have to have it all figured out. I just know that God is in control of it. First Peter gives us some instruction. You know, I don't want to have just, okay, my level of hope is just how maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't, how it's going to come out. But this one over in 1 Peter, I saw this morning. There's several of them in the first chapter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's an interesting word put in front of hope. To a lively hope. It's not just, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But it's got life to it. There's hope right here. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. This lively hope is that there's something reserved in heaven for me, for you. And it goes on down in the 13th verse. And this verse tells me something about the beginning of our talk this afternoon. When we ask, if I could take a little inventory of this past week and my thoughts and where they have gone and how much of them were positive and how much were negative, and this tells me I can do something about it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. You know, sometimes I believe that's good for every one of us. Directions that my mind starts going, and it's almost like a snowball that has started out small and then it starts getting bigger and bigger. And it's my thoughts that are, well, and then this is going to happen, and then this will surely follow that, and here's where it goes. And this one kind of tells us, and there's another verse that we could almost dovetail with this. This one says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The other one says, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Taking each thought, being able to, now this is one thing to stand here and say it, and it's another thing at 2 o'clock in the morning when your thoughts are churning and you're going to say, I'm not going that direction with that thought. Have you tried it? I have had at 3 a.m, I wake up and I really need some more sleep. And it's not even that I have just one thing that is a big pressing problem. It'll just bounce from one thing to another and another. And it's not bad things. It's just maybe it's even things that I need to get done tomorrow. And I'm not going to take care of them at 2 o'clock in the morning, but they're churning in my head. Have you ever said, okay, I remember this verse, bringing into captivity every thought. I'm going to do that. I would say to myself, okay, if I've got to stay awake, I'm only going to rehearse scripture. I'll lay awake. If I stay awake the rest of this night, I'm only going to allow myself to rehearse scripture or a song or something that is inspiring. You ever tried it? And you can even do it for 30 seconds. And then you find while I'm thinking about this verse and this song and this, oops, I'm back there in this other problem again. I even said, okay, that's it. I'm getting up out of bed. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to pray. That's going to help me. Get my head down in the cushion of the couch at 3 a.m. and I'm now focused on the Lord. You know what? In just a little bit, whoa, wait a minute. I was praying and now I'm thinking about this again. Bringing into captivity our thoughts. You know, we're going to need the Lord's help, even with those. And I really think he enjoys us coming to him and saying, Lord, I've tried to harness this thing, and it just keeps popping out again. We're not talking about sinful thoughts. We're just talking about things that can bring us into captivity to those thoughts. And this one is saying, you bring those into captivity. I say, Lord, help us. Which ones of my thoughts have hope attached to them? Here's what's happening. But you know what? I see that the Lord could cause something positive to come from this thing. I say, Lord, help me. Gird up the loins of your mind. Then in the 18th verse, as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these times, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. That's where I want to be able to have that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So then we come to another place in 1 Corinthians. In the 15th chapter and in the 19th verse. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Now, as I thought about this verse, I know what the verse is talking about, but if you could look at your life today and there was no heaven to gain, there was no hell to shun, would you still say, I'd still live this way? It's the best life there can be. I would. You know why? I've lived enough years to watch the results of poor choices that people have made in their life that I've come to the conclusion, you know what? If there was not even a heaven to gain, our life would be, just our family's life would be much better to have followed God's pattern for a family, for a community, for a nation, for a world. Just lay heaven aside. That's a benefit. But just for my life itself, you know what? Just bringing myself into control would be worth it. Because you know what? Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. And let's forget about heaven for a little bit. Just my choices would not be right for my family. It wouldn't be right for my workplace because I'm going to always be thinking about what's in this thing for me. And you know how many places Jesus tells us, this isn't about you. I remember Brother Marty, it helped me out with Cheryl's passing. Brother Marty preached a message at Guthrie that said, it ain't about you, brother. Whenever I have feelings of how sorry I am, you know, how bad I feel about all this, brother, there's something you can be thinking about. You think about how God has blessed her to be able to bypass a whole lot of trouble. It's not about me. But you know what would happen if we laid aside heaven and we just checked out Jesus' rules that he gave us for living here? If I didn't follow his way, it would be all about me. What's in this thing for me? And you know how my family would suffer for that? Those around me would suffer for that. So what I say is I thank the Lord for the plan that he gave us. Heaven is out there. What he's talking about in this is, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If I put my hope into that there's a heaven out there, what he was talking about was there were some people that said, there is no resurrection. So what he was trying to tell them is, okay, if there's no resurrection, then there's no going to heaven. And if we have only, we got our hopes in it, but it's not there, well, we're going to be pretty miserable when we find out there's nothing there. Yeah. So he's saying we would be most miserable if it's just this life only. Well, I want to tell the Lord thanks for the plan he made for this life only. But heaven is going to be one great benefit that goes along with it. So I was thinking of the places that are tell us about hope. And there's a verse over in Hebrews 10 and 35 that tells us, do not cast away your confidence, because it has a great recompense of reward. To me, what I get from that is, be real careful about losing confidence. I think about just losing confidence and saying, God, you're in control of this. You know, sometimes I can feel like, Lord, this thing ought to be going this direction. You know how many places I need to realize His ways are higher than my ways. It gives me just so much. We could be here the rest of the afternoon with verses like, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Those kind of places, and for me to maintain a confidence in the Lord, Lord, your ways are right, whether I can understand it or whether I can't. And then as we start thinking about heaven, there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. We don't sorrow like those that have no hope. You know, it is hard for me to imagine what it would be if I had to, from the heart, say, I don't think she made it. We don't sorrow like those with no hope. Yes. Folks, I tell you what, there is so much value to a hope, not just a hope, but a hope because of the life that was lived. Yes. And you know what? That life that was lived tells me I can make it. Yes. You know, it doesn't tell me there's a certain group of people that are the elite in spiritual walk with the Lord. Nuh-uh. I watched her come to places where she had to go back and consecrate again. But her walk with the Lord brought her to an end to where I don't sorrow like those that just don't know if they made it or not. Folks, we are so blessed. And then for me, you know, I have a hope of going to heaven. There's a verse over in 1 John 3 and 3. This whole, the beginning of the third chapter of 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. So this is some thoughts about heaven. What's it going to be like? What are we going to be like when we go there? But here's what it does tell us. Every man that hath this hope in him, what does he do? He purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This hope that I have of making heaven my home causes me to check my life and ask the Lord to check my life. Because you know what? The world, when I looked at this verse, we don't sorrow as those with no hope. You know what? Many people in the world that never go to church have a hope of making heaven their home. Yes. And if you went to the funeral, the minister would preach them into heaven. Yes. And you know what? I hope everybody goes to heaven. But I know one thing. We've got more knowledge than that. We know that it's going to take some purifying for me to make heaven my home. And so what I do is I ask Him to show me those things. Yes. You know, sometimes He has to cause it to bubble up to the top for me to see it. Have you ever had things happen and you spoke in a way that you realized, this got me before I realized it? In places like, you know, we can have things start to develop inside us that we don't even realize ourselves. And the Lord says, I want to nip that in the bud.
Yes.
I had, and I've said this 4 years ago, on my job, mom and dad taught me as a child, do not lie. You will never get away from a lie. You will have to go back and correct it, which that's terrible in itself, or you'll face it at the judgment. So I was always real, real careful of what I say, that it would not be a lie. I was on my job one day, and we would have at our office building, we would have a walkthrough that we would do every day, checking equipment. One of the things that we would check would be, there was years ago, as even before I started, we have a bus duct because of it using so much electric in that building. They don't run it in wires. They run it in plates of metal. And they had a bus duct that went across the parking garage and water got on it and it blew up. So from that day forward, every day you had to check off. There's an expansion joint that goes outside, making sure that expansion joint is dry. Well, you know, we might have 3 months of dry weather. Why should you check it? Well, you still look at it anyhow and check it off. Well, I happened to be the one going by to check it one day, and it was just kind of a drizzly rain outside. And as I checked it, I saw, you know what, that thing's dripping just a little bit on a shield that we had over that bus duct. And I said, when I finish this today, I need to call in and get that repaired. And I forgot all about it. A couple mornings later, I drove into work, and it was pouring down rain. And I had not even gone to it that day. I just remembered that, and I said, oh, no. I took off up there, looked, and sure enough, it was not only just on the shield, but it was starting to come on to the bus duct that had blown up before. So I called my boss, and I said, hey, we need to get the company out quick. It's leaking onto that bus duct. He was able to get them real quick. They came right out. They made the repair. And as they finished up and headed off, he said, Dan, I want to tell you something. I appreciate how you watch after this building. You are on top of it just as soon as something happens. You know what I told him? Nothing. He walked away from there thinking I was on top of it. And I can still, right now, I can see his back as he was walking away back to his office. And the Lord said, you can't leave that like that. And so I'm walking along behind him back up to his office. And I tell him, you know, I told you the truth whenever I called you and said it was leaking. Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, I said that was just partially the truth because I knew it 2 days ago and I forgot all about it. So I just wanted to come back to you and clear that. Because, you know, there is a verse. Jesus recognized it in a person. When he saw Nathanael, he said, this is an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. You know what guile is? Telling the truth with an intention of misleading with it. Is that possible? Sure is. You can tell half the truth and make somebody think something that you want them to think, and it's different than that. And I got another example, which made me realize, you better watch this one close. So I've been on lots of diets in my life, and some of them Cheryl would want to help me with. So if I tell her, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start watching my eating, what I eat and everything. So I come home from work one day, and she said, okay, Dan, what did you have today? Well, you know the diet foods, it's salad and it's those kind of things. So I told her, I said, I had a salad for lunch and stopped there because I'd also had a bag of donuts. But you know what? I didn't tell her a lie. I did have a salad. But you know how these things can work in our life? It just seems so small, and yet to realize, you know what this thing is doing? It's starting a pattern here that the Lord wants to check. And, you know, I came to realize a few days later, why the Lord was watching me so carefully, was we had some paint that we were using in our mechanical rooms. It was oil-based, and it was a very strong smell. And the elevator company said, we want to use that in our machine rooms. So I got the material for him and everything and provided it for him. And they painted the machine room and closed the door. And the smell from that went up the elevator shaft. And a woman came out of, she worked for a law firm on top of that. She came out of her office and got in the elevator and went down. And she commented to somebody, oh, this is making me sick. And she walked out the building and passed out and died. You know, God would like to check us in small things to where we are at the...
Did you say that was in another building?
It's in the building I work in. Yeah. We found out, which it didn't matter, but she had had health issues. And she had a prescription in her purse that she had, as soon as she got paid the next paycheck, she was going to get that. And she didn't, but it didn't matter when she died from what our company had done. But it just made me realize then, you know, this is more than donuts. This is about me living a life that what I say is exactly right. Because at that point, they're saying, okay, tell us what happened. And it just made me realize, you know what, what does this say? Every man that hath this hope, he purifies himself.
Yes.
As the Lord comes along and deals with me about something, I want to allow that to purify me because I have this hope of heaven out ahead.
Yes.
And I am so thankful that he cares enough about us to be able to come along, each one of us personally. You probably, that may not even be any of your problem. I can remember with our cell phones are really nice, but they have this little thing on them called Life 360. Mine does anyhow, did anyhow, and it says exactly where you were, and somebody else can watch. And so, you know, I've got about a 40-minute drive home, and as I'm going headed home, Cheryl calls me and says, Dan, what are you doing at Burger King? And I'm cooking supper. Well, you know, it's being monitored. Well, this is something more than just her checking Life 360 for me. You know what? God's watching all the time. And just in these little things, you know, I could just say, well, you know, that's just a little character flaw I have about half-truths or whatever. But know what it is something that I want to be alert because I've got this hope of heaven out ahead. I want us all to have hope. I don't want it to be the same hope as the world has, like flipping a nickel and I hope heads up, I make heaven my home. We can have more of a hope than that. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, and we can make heaven our home. I desire your prayers.